actively engage and participate where you can fit in. At least come out and support our young ones on Friday when they come together. They need to know that the adults believe in them. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. And then we have some other things that are coming up that are going to be great. But January's almost over, and we're into this new year, 2019, and it's been a great year. We're going to bring up the offering baskets. You can bring an offering. If you have your tithes and offerings, your tithes you want to give tonight, you can give that. If you just want to bring an offering tonight, you can do that. Also, in addition to announcement, brother, I'm not putting you on blast, but I'm just saying, the QLM, both the leaders as well as the men that are in QLM, I asked you if you would have your comments on this year's banquet versus last year's banquet to me by today. So you still have 4 hours, just under 4 hours left in the day to get it to me today. I received some responses that were very good, very positive, and we want to not only talk about those but engage in putting them into action. So if you can get those to me, that would be greatly appreciated. And I believe you know what it's about. And also, you should have received an email from Minister Patton as far as a recap of what took place Monday night. Amen? All right. So if you have your offerings ready, go ahead and bring them up at any given time. I want to do a brief review, go back, and then move forward. Not that we're going backwards in the sense, but just I felt led in my spirit to cover this particular passage. And we'll just go from there. We're still in Ephesians. We're still in this year, 2019. We're still in the step into it. We're still talking about spirit, soul, and body. We're really emphasizing that because we want to make sure that we understand, first of all, that we are triune man, spirit, soul, and body. And the only reason we're spiritually alive is because we've been born again. We received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and so our spirit man got born again. But the spirit man came alive not to follow the soul or the flesh, but to lead the soul and the flesh. And so whenever you got saved, whenever you got born again, at that point, spirit man came alive, and he comes alive to God and wants to do the will of God. And we want to make sure that we're feeding him and not neglecting or abandoning him. You know, if we measure the course of the day or we look over the course of the day, it's a good thing to do. Let a man examine himself to see if he's in the faith. But look at what we're doing. Look at what part, what component are we feeding most? Are we feeding our own interests and own desires? Are we feeding our spirit man? Are we ignoring our spirit man? How do we ignore him? He likes to pray. He likes to feed on God's word. He also likes fellowship with those of like precious faith as well. There's just certain things that your spirit likes to do. And if you've been living a long time in the world ungodly, you're used to being led by your flesh, or you're led by your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. Some people are very emotional. That means that they're led by their soul. Some people are very, you know, they have some very bad habits, if you will. And those bad habits are sin, transgressions. They do a lot of harm to themselves, if you will, and to others. And so you're led by your flesh, your carnal nature, the fallen nature of man. And now that you've been born again, you're not supposed to be led by your flesh or your carnal nature, nor are you supposed to be led by your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. You're supposed to be led by the Spirit. Now, the scripture goes on to say in Romans that they that are led of the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Hallelujah. And so if we want to do what Paul says, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will, we're going to find ourselves focusing on being led by the Spirit of God, and that our spirit, and he dwells in our spirit, and our spirit is leading our soul and our body. Our spirit is in charge. He brings the soul in subjection. He brings the flesh or the carnal nature in subjection. This body only becomes a vehicle or transport vehicle for housing the glory of God and for being led by the Spirit of God to do whatever God wants to do in this earth. We take care of our responsibilities, but even in that, we do it not from a natural perspective, but from a biblical, spiritual perspective. If everything that we do in word and in deed is supposed to be done in the name of Jesus or to the glory of God, then we're going to have to be led by the Spirit and not by our soul and not by our flesh. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There's just so many scriptures that really help us to break down the components of man and really examine ourselves to see if we're operating in the faith and if we're really being led like we ought to be led as sons and daughters of the Most High God. If we're led by our spirit, boy, problems will just fall off of us like water off of a duck's back. Does that make sense? But if we're led by our soul or if we're led by our flesh, we start reacting to everything. We get hurt by anything. We get offended like it ain't, you know, it's like every day we wake up to an offense. And it just knocks us out of the saddle and makes our lives miserable, if you will, when we're supposed to be above the offense. Amen. Offenses are going to come. Bank on it. Hallelujah. If you haven't been offended, wait. It's coming. You've probably been offended and don't even know it. You become introverted and you cut yourself off from everybody and you don't want to have any relationship with anybody. You don't want to give nobody a second chance to do what that person did to you because you've been so offended, so hurt by it, and dot, dot, dot. But the thing of it is that we have to be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It sounds like, yeah, I've been hearing that all the time and stuff, but it's like, it ain't all about your hearing. It's about your doing. James says you can hear and still not do. You'll be like a man who looked and beheld his face in the mirror and then immediately turn away from that mirror and forget exactly what he looks like. And so it's not just the hearing, but it's actually the doing. If we only hear and don't do, we deceive ourselves. We trick ourselves. Our mind plays tricks on us. We think we got it, but then when we turn away and walk, we blow it as the people of God. And we don't have to. We don't have to live a subpar, substandard life anymore in Christ Jesus. We can live victoriously every day. We can live above the fray, above the fight, above the conflicts, above the battles, above the sickness, above the sadness, above the sorrows, above the worries, above the fears. And all of those things will come and try and attack you. Temptations will come. But if we're walking in the Spirit, we walk above that stuff. And thou shalt be the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only and not beneath. Praise God. That comes from living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, the words that I say unto you, these words, they are spirit and they are life. Meaning to say, God is communicating with our spirit. It's not about our soul. We have to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, the implanted word of God, which is able to save our soul, which means that word helps us to bring the soul into alignment and submit to the authority and rule of the Spirit. Because you are a spirit being now. Say this with me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Yeah. It's no spooky, spooky, ooh, kind of stuff. It's just, no, we're a spirit now. We've been born again. We've been born of the Spirit. We were spiritually dead to God. When we came out of our mother's womb, we were spiritually dead to God. That didn't happen because of us. That happened because of Adam, and it just spread from one generation to the next generation up until where we are. Everyone came from one man through one man's loins and one woman's womb. We all came out of the same loin, same womb. We all came from Adam. Doesn't matter what the color of our skin, doesn't matter what nation we were born in, doesn't matter what our social status is, we all came. There is no superior man over man, if you will. We're all created in the image and likeness of God, but we fell in Adam. That's why you have so much hatred, so much bickering. That's why people can't get along with each other. That's why people think that one is superior than the other or better than the other. None of us are better than nobody. It doesn't matter about our talents, gifts, and abilities. None of us are better than, you know, the next person. We are on the same, the playing field is level. Sin has made us all equal. We were made equal in the beginning, but I mean, sin has just leveled the playing field. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yeah. And so all the ills that we face in society are directly a direct result of sin, the sinful nature. That's why you don't have to hate people who hate you. They're in sin. Don't let them pull you in. Am I sharing anything worthwhile? Praise God. Yeah. You don't have to let them draw you into their sin. Yeah. Somebody think they're better than you because they got a nice car and you got an ugly car. As long as you can get to the place you need to go to, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. They're no better than you. Might look better to the eye, but the eye gets you in trouble too. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These three are in the world. They're not of God. They're in the world, and they're of the world. Am I making any sense? Okay. I was just trying to give people a chance to bring their offerings if they were going to bring them, but I'll just go ahead and bring mine in Jesus' name. Praise God. So I want to share this passage of scripture. So we're still there. It's just we like to be led by the Spirit of God. They that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And so he just brought something up in my spirit earlier today. And it's like, okay, let me go ahead. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. I'll try this one because it's smaller and I can get there quicker. When you get there, say amen. All right. Okay. So you said you're there, and it's on the screen, too, in case you don't have a Bible with you. For unto us was the gospel preached. Father, bless the reading and hearing of your holy and grafted word, which is able to save our soul. We thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. For we which have believed, no, that's next. For unto us was the gospel preached, the good news. Preach, proclaim, herald to us, as well as unto them. Now, the them is the children of Israel spending 40 years in the wilderness after having been led out of Egypt by God's mighty hand and his outstretched arm and seeing the various miracles that God did, seeing the 10 plagues that he brought on the Egyptians to force the hand of Pharaoh to let God's people go. 40 years in the wilderness, which was simply an 11-day journey. It only took 11 days to get them from the wilderness to Canaan land, where God wanted to bring them to. God brought them all out somewhere in the vicinity of 3 million. He brought them all out in one evening. And as he spoke to Moses, not Moses, but as he spoke to Abraham about 400 years prior to that, as he spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to bring them out. First of all, they're going to go into Egyptians. They're going to go into bondage, into slavery. He says, I'm going to bring them out. When I bring them out, they're not going to come out empty handed. And so when the Lord brought them out on that great night, they had plundered the Egyptians. They had spoiled the Egyptians. They had took all of their wealth. As a matter of fact, they took what was due them for 40 years of slavery. All in one night, they plundered the Egyptians. And so God leads them out with his mighty hand and his outstretched arm. And they're going out. And then he takes them not the easy way. He takes them a difficult way, a different way, to escape the Egyptians. And then he brings them to the place where they're facing the Red Sea in front of them. And when they look back, they see Pharaoh and his army coming behind them. And so they panic in fear. And then Moses looks to God, and God says, what's in your hand? A rod. Stretch it out. And he stretches it out, and he parts the Red Sea. And then the children of Israel, all of them, all 3 million, however, it was somewhere in the millions. It wasn't just 100. It wasn't just 1,000. They were in the millions because God had increased their population. He had increased their ability to reproduce. Under the most harsh times, God had the Hebrews, they were having babies, 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 babies. They went in with only 70. They came out in the millions. And so God brings them out, and they all go across the Red Sea on dry ground. This is the awesomeness of our God. They all go across the Red Sea on dry ground, and then they get to the other side, and then God has them look back and say, this enemy you see now, you won't see him no more. And he drowned all of Pharaoh and his army that came after them. So they see this, and then they see how God gives them water. They see how God even sweetens the water that is bitter. I believe God just brought them to a place where they could see what was in their heart. And he said, because water is like a mirror. And so they tasted the water, and they saw that the water was bitter. But then God said, take the tree, put it in there, and then, of course, the waters got sweetened, if you will. But he gave them manna. And then when they got tired and complained about manna, then God brought them quail. He brought them some meat. God took care of them all the while during that 40 years, 11-day journey, amen? 11-day journey that took them 40 years. All that time, God was trying to work out of them with 400 years of Egyptian brutality and slavery and bondage worked into them. But he could have did it, just brought them right in, 11 days. But because of the stubbornness of their heart. So this is who the writer is speaking of when he's talking about they couldn't enter into his rest. They couldn't get to that place in God where he wanted them to be. He wanted to teach them faith, to believe and trust him. But because they wouldn't believe and trust God and kept on looking back at Egypt, thinking how well they had it, because now out here they got to live by faith. In Egypt, they just lived breakfast, lunch, and dinner in slavery and bondage, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner in slavery and bondage, and having babies and stuff like that. That's all they knew, and they were accustomed to that. And they even engaged in the idolatrous worship. How do we know? Because we know what they did. Moses goes up on the mountain for 40 days to seek the face of God, get the counsel of God, and then God tells him, get down from here. The people have sinned. What are they doing? The people have, they ate. The scripture says they ate, they drank, and they rose up to play. They made them a false god. What did they learn about that false god? From Egypt. They saw what the Egyptians were doing. So they did that. We don't know where Moses is. We don't know. Make us a god, Aaron. Make us. And this was the mindset of the people. And God has just brought them out. I mean, we still be like, whoa, still be talking about. Man, did you see how God, you see what he did? Man, look at all this stuff I got. I got all of that from Egypt, man. One night, God didn't send me. He sent my wife. He knew I probably wouldn't go and ask, but the women will definitely beat on that door. Give me your jewelry. Ah, praise God. Give me your goods. So all of this, and they're dealing with this stuff, and they're just constantly, and we see, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He talked about the murmuring. He talked about the lust. He talked about the, what else was it? Come on, QLM. Come on, QLM. Fornication. Tempting Christ. Come on, where's the brain power? Come on, Brother Tim. Okay, lust. We said that already. We said lust already. But anyways, there were five sins that kept so many of them out of the place of Canaan land where God intended for them to be. And so here you have it. They're dealing with all of this. This is what's on the inside of them. And what is Dad trying to do? He's trying to get that out of them. That's why it was taking them 40 years. But because they were rebellious and because they kept on, you know, coming against God. Now, mind you, 40 years was a sentence as well. It was a sentence because they sent the 12 spies out. They sent them out for 40 days to spy out the land to see what it's like. 10 came back with a negative report. 2 came back and said, we can do this thing. God is with us. They will be our bread. We'll eat them. They have no protection. Their protection has left them. God is with us. He's going to give us this land. And so anyways, but they committed all of these sins and all. And so God was trying to work that out in those 40 years. Now, mind you, going back, God said, for every day that you were there, the 40 days, I'm going to sentence you 1 year in the wilderness. And so the thing of it is, it was still an 11-day journey. But during this process, God was simply trying to work that stuff out of them, get them to come to the place of believing and trusting him. It's just a little backdrop for sake of time. Just a little backdrop where he says, for unto us was the gospel preached in verse 2, as well as unto them. The gospel, the good news, was being preached to them while they were in the wilderness. But what does the scripture say? It says, but the word preached, herald, proclaimed, if you will, did not profit them. Now, mind you, Paul says this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is. He says, these things are written for our examples so that we won't commit the same acts that they did. That's why it's there. So if they did certain things, and God dealt with it a certain way, the reason it's an example is to let us know that if we do certain things, God's going to deal with us a certain way. So if they heard the same good news in the wilderness, and the scripture goes on to say it did not profit them, that means we can listen to the same good news, and it may not profit us. Are you with me? We can all be hearing. Remember the parable of the seed sower. It's like the sower sows the word. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Now, each one of those heart conditions, if you will, reflects the very people that hear the gospel today, whether it's in the local assembly or even out there on the streets. Only one of the four, all were capable of hearing and prospering from the word that they heard, but only one of the four really benefited or profited, as the writer is saying here. They profited. They didn't profit from it. And he says the reason they didn't profit from it is because it's not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That word mix, it means to commingle. It means to assimilate. And so the picture that I see is that here I am, fertile ground, if you will, and not because of me or anything like that, but here I am, I'm listening, and I'm hearing, and I'm receiving. And so I'm not only listening and hearing and receiving, but I'm getting some understanding from this. And not only that, I'm making sure that this gets down, not just in my brain where I can understand it, but it gets down into my heart so that I can start to live and act it out, if you will. And so then I start to walk this out and work it out, and then I begin to see something come forth from me. What? I see the results of that word coming into my life, being applied to my life. Now I see the results of it from the way I live. I know this is simple, 2 + 2 is, but it makes a whole lot of sense, and it helps when we can receive it. Because the thing of it is that when this gets in us, this comes out. It comes into life. And it changes what this was before. Because before this, this was this, and this was not it. This is it. So we get it in us, and then we let it work its process in us, and before you know it, we it. Ha! Praise God, sorry. Yeah. But it didn't profit them. It didn't benefit them. It didn't increase. It didn't bless them. Why? Because they didn't mix it with faith. So I see that word. The word comes to assimilate. In other words, it comes to change the culture. It comes to change the status. It comes to change. It's a change agent within itself. It ain't coming in me to lie dormant. That's not why you put seed in the earth to lie dormant. You put seed in the earth and you're looking at it to watch it grow. You want to see something come forth. And so God sows his seed into our heart and he's looking for something to grow. And so we receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word. Implanted. Implanted where? Implanted into my heart. We receive with meekness the engrafted word. Meekness, humility, not arrogance, not resistance, not I know this. We receive with meekness, humility, the spirit of humility, the engrafted, implanted word, which is able to save my soul. I got to know that my soul needs saving. I can't say I'm all right, I'm okay, I've arrived. We won't arrive until Jesus comes. So we'll be growing in the meantime. We'll be increasing with the increase that comes from God. That's profiting from the word. They didn't profit because they didn't mix it with faith. And so when the word comes, faith has to meet it. I believe and I receive. I have. And so when situations in my life are contrary to the word, I don't make the word conform to my situation. I make my situation conform to my word. How do I do that? I take the word and I put it on the situation. And so if you'll allow me to use you, Brother Richard. Brother Richard was diagnosed with lung cancer, 6 months to live. So what do you do when you get news like that? Well, some people, they have no hope. They have no outlet. And they handle it in different ways. Some will go to a bar and just drink themselves into a stupor. Some might even try and take their own life because they don't want to go through that process. Some people are like that. What do they call it? When you it's assisted suicide, if you will. But God says, Richard shall not die. But he shall live and declare my marvelous works in the earth. And so God says, by his stripes we are healed. So the doctor says, 6 months to live. God says, by my stripes you are healed. So you take the word. You hear what the doctor says, because what he's telling you is the best of his knowledge of what he knows. But you know a greater physician. So you take the greater physician's word more than you take the word of the doctor. You understand what the doctor is saying in the situation that you're in. So you need something more than just chemo, more than just radiation. You need something that is greater than cancer. You take the word of God and bam, and say, by his stripes, I'm healed. That's mixing the word with faith, because that's what the word tells me. Now, I'm either going to believe God and his word, or I'm going to believe my situation. Situations change all the time, but God's word remains the same. It'll be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, we want to profit from this. So we see the word coming, and the word is like, I want to assimilate. I want to go into your spirit, soul, and body, that born-again spirit that needs to be cultivated and developed, that divine nature on the inside of you that needs to grow in order to overcome and overpower your flesh and your soul, bring them into subjection, make you whole, praise God. And so you start taking in more and more of God's word. And so the stuff that you were weak at one point in time, now you put the word on it. Kabam! And you just start overcoming stuff. And you just start, you understand what I'm saying? I'm getting excited and I'm out of time. But do you understand what I'm saying? That's why we have to be led by the Spirit. We cannot afford to be led by our flesh any longer. We cannot afford to be led by our soul. Jesus says the soul is exceedingly sorrowful in Matthew chapter 26. He said the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now he breaks those components of man down, and it's not taking it out of context. It's just taking what Jesus has said. The flesh is weak. The flesh profited nothing. You can't benefit anyway. You can't even please God. Your fleshly carnal nature hates God, and you got to come to grips with that. That's why you don't want to come to church. It's your flesh. It's your soul telling you don't go to church, telling you go do something else, telling you it's okay, you can miss this one. It tells you everything that is against the will of God. I ain't condemning nobody. I'm just letting you identify yourself. ID yourself. ID whether you're walking in the spirit or you're walking in your soul realm or you're walking in your flesh, your carnal, fallen nature. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are what? And what? Spirit and life. So Jesus is like, I ain't communicating with your soul. I ain't communicating with your flesh. I'm communicating with your spirit. When Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, who do you think he's speaking to? He is speaking to your spirit. Bring your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. It's your reasonable service. It's your spiritual worship. And don't be conformed to this world. Now he's speaking about the soul. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mind, will, emotion, soul, man. Deal with the soul, man. Bring it in subjection so you can be led. That's where you can please God. Flesh and blood cannot please God. Your spirit can please God. Hallelujah. Your spirit will even sustain you in sickness. You'll be so sick and feeling so bad, but your spirit will say, oh, come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. What do you mean, let's go? Let's go. Let's go. I don't feel like going. I don't feel like going. Let's go. Your spirit is saying, let's go. And then when you get there, all of a sudden God meets you there. And then it's like, what was holding you back? I'm so glad I came. Oh, praise God. I'm so glad I won that battle. I'm so glad I defeated that devil that's trying to keep me at home. The devil is your flesh or your soul. Stand to your feet. I got to identify from the glory of God. Amen. Amen. So, again, I'll read it to you. For unto us was this gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So if we don't mix the word that we hear with faith, then the word's not going to profit us. And faith is not just believing. Faith is acting on what we believe. Faith is an act. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for those watching Facebook, if you're watching live Facebook, we thank you for tuning in. If you're watching live stream, we thank you for tuning in. And if you're in the congregation, we thank you for being here. Hallelujah. Believe me, your attendance, it encourages a preacher, a pastor. We preach to empty seats, if you will, but it just, you know, and the more the seats fill up, the more encouraged the pastor is in doing the work of God. It's not like you need bodies and numbers in order to do, because people would say, you know, preach like we're preaching to hundreds of thousands, if you will. That's because in the kingdom and the spirit realm we are. Hallelujah. Whosoever will. So with that being said, it's good to have you. But Father, we thank you. I pray a blessing upon each and every one, and I pray a blessing upon the offerings of your people, the freewill offerings that they brought forth, whether it's their tithes or offerings or just a gift of love. Thank you. Again, we thank you for Richard and Karen. We cover them again in the blood of Jesus. We thank you for all of those who tuned in by Facebook, who tuned in live stream. We just thank you. And we know that this is a year of increase. We know that this is a year of growth. It's a year of multiplication. It's a year that we step into the things of God. And we step in, and we step in, and we step in, and we step in, and we step up in the things of God. And so we thank you for that. Bless your sons and daughters. Bless them. Keep them. Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious unto them. Lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace. Let your name be over them and their household, that you may bless them, that they may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, they may prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against them, but they will triumph over and conquer the gates of hell. Because they're the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, and guide you with this eye. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Everybody who agrees, said amen. Amen. All right, give each other a high five and release the blessing of hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus. We love you. See you Friday for those of you who will be out. Amen.